in Matthew 21:22, that whatever we ask in prayer, believing, we will receive. You know, whatever we ask in prayer, believing, we will receive. Now, how many people have asked for something in prayer and believing, and they did not receive it? Okay, it's important. Like, I'm not afraid of that. I'm not afraid of the things that we don't get. And then, so sometimes it's, and we've all had reasons why. Well, God said no, wait, later, yes, whatever. But this is an interesting thought, not original with me, but it really is a biblical thought. When you and I often go into prayer, we go with our desires. That's interesting. So my desires, they are not, they're just part of who I am. You know, like today I desired a diet lemonade from Chick-fil-A. Okay? Those are just natural things. You know, if we all went right now to the ice cream shop, is that what they call it now still? They still call it that way. Ice cream store, ice cream, what do you call them? Ice cream shop? Ice cream place. Okay, and we ordered very often, especially depending if you're with ladies, like I like going to that like Sweet Frog, and you taste test everything, and then I'm done usually, but then I really feel bad, so I have to buy some. But I'm full usually by that point. So, but you taste test. We're not really sure, especially if there are different flavors and if we haven't had them before. And everyone in this room could talk about what they love and what they don't like. And I've traveled with some of you, like when I was in South Africa, I really got to know Susie's sweet tooth, you know. And I've gotten to know with different people at different places, you know, if you're with Caroline long enough, you figure out a few things about her eating habits and various things, you know. And for me, and all peculiar, you know, and I can have very weird, you know, the way that I, as Marcellus would tell you, the way that I have my tuna fish, it's not very tasty to some. And one time she made some tuna fish for me and made it for Alex and Kuso, and they got mixed up. And he was so disgusted with his hands. And he talked about it. He was like, this is ridiculous. You know, he's not shy. This is ridiculous. This is, you know, whatever. And I didn't understand it. And then I realized, I thought, this sandwich is great. And then I realized that because I don't have mayonnaise in my tuna fish, and I prefer like relish, and I really even like a little bit of a sour taste to it. So our tastes are very different. So I take my taste and I take them into prayer, and I get upset over my result. How could I not get this? How? Why would this? Why would that? But the reality is, I took my desire into prayer. But that's not the verse. It's ask in prayer. I bring in prayer. And it is whatever comes out of prayer, that is the desire that God would have me have. So there's this natural desire. Like, I don't, as Christians, you don't become a Christian, and we tell, like, as Sarah became recently a Christian, I didn't give her a manual beside the Bible. It told her, now, the only ice cream Christians eat is strawberry. The only a food that Christians eat, that's actually legalism. And we've seen, you know, like, you can't taste this, you handle not this, you better like this. Okay, these are the type of things where, oh, by the way, Christians don't wear makeup. Oh, by the way, Christians do this, do that, whatever. And it's kind of very interesting because there's no, like, but that's the same, this idea of, like, my desires are not, unless they are, we have these natural desires, they are, hear this, they are seemingly not, they are seemingly innocent in a lot of ways, okay? They are not necessarily connected to something. And Song of Solomon, I think, has a great picture here, because in Song of Solomon chapter 5 and verse 1, I mean, verse 2, the writer says, and this is speaking of the Shulamite woman, she says, I sleep, but my heart is awake. You and I would say that's a lot of it. each one of us has unique personalities and unique desires here. And we go through the day and we do the same thing. All of us could do the exact same thing if tomorrow. We could wake up together, we'd brush our teeth together, go through the same day, could do the exact same thing. But it does, and I would say that's like I sleep. We do the routine. Every one of us could do the same routine. But it doesn't mean, but our hearts are awake. So that's where some wild behavior and different things can come out, because our hearts are awake. We sleep. We go through things. We can do the motions. Moms could take care of 10 children, do the motions, and she's completely, and I've seen this, not connected at all. And then I've seen, and you read about wild stories, right? And then she's gone. Well, what was going on? She was sleeping, doing the routine, but her heart was awake. And this heart of mine has to be dealt with, has to be fed. Something must be done, because it is awake inside of me. It is. And if we turn also to Ecclesiastes 3. Okay. In verse 11, it says, "He has made everything beautiful in his time. Also, he has set the world in their heart." What? "So that no man can find out the work that God makes from the beginning to the end." What do you mean, the world is in my heart? You know, I may sleep, but my heart is awake. The world is in my heart. And that word, it can be translated eternity. That means, to me, that's even bigger. That means from infinite to infinite is inside of here. And we, when we became born again, that really awakened. And almost, it's kind of almost like, as much as it's a double blessing, it almost also became a little bit of double trouble. Because I had these two things inside of me, and there is another verse which says that the spirit, lust, and the flesh, they fight against each other. Okay? So now inside of me, and let's turn there as well, because I want us to see this picture. So it's James chapter 4. Do you think that the scriptures, verse 5, and verse 1, "From whence come wars and fightings among you? Come they not hence even of your lusts that war within your members?" Inside of me, there is this lust, this backwards and forwards, okay? And then if you drop down to verse 5, "Do you think that the Spirit says in vain, the Spirit that dwells in you lusts to envy?" Okay? So there's this battle inside of us. And then we hit another one. I'll find it. Find this. Okay, in Galatians chapter 5. Verse 17. Okay, so Galatians 5. And it's good. We need to start. We're going to hopefully, I want to say this, that I'd love to be within a year's time that we're able to flip through this Bible, these Bibles, okay? So that we know this. Because Bibles, like, we got to be able to grab that when we need it, right? It's like going to the store. I know if I go to certain stores with some of you are coupon queens. And I know some of you know your certain stores that you know. I walk into that store, I'm like, you're like, follow me. And you take me down that aisle. And you say, right here is where we get. And this is, oh, yeah, now follow. No, I'm what? But I have to get. Nope, follow me. Don't even bother looking at the signs. I know where it's at. And I want us to be in our Bible like that. Follow me. I know exactly in the Bible where this is. So we're going to get there because we need it. And that's why you can go to the store in 5 minutes and I may take 5 hours and still not have what I'm supposed to have. And have you ever, and that's no slam on the guys, but have you ever sent a guy to a store and he's come back with none of the list that you asked for? And all different extra things that you didn't even ask for? Yes, absolutely. And that's the thing. We want to be able to go to the store of the Bible and get the thing that we need, the right thing. Okay. So Galatians 5:17 says, "For the flesh, it lusts against the spirit, and the spirit against the flesh. And these are contrary." That means they fight against the other so that you cannot do the things that you would. So it's very interesting. It's like, that's why he said in the verse before, we have to walk in the Spirit so you don't fulfill the lust thereof. So in another, translation, it's like, you cannot do the things that you want. So inside of me, I sleep, I go throughout my day, but my heart is awake. And my heart is awake full of all of eternity. And the Spirit's in there, and the flesh is that other part of me that's going to pick, it's going to want to satisfy itself. And this is very interesting. This that wants to satisfy itself, this is not my desire. This is this part of me that wants to satisfy it, but it's not my desire. There's the flesh, and then there's spirit. And there's me that was created in God's image. And sometimes I identify with this, and I call it that. And sometimes I identify with this, but I'm unique and you're unique and God made each one of us so stinking unique. And it's a remarkable thing. But these guys, they are, what does it say? They lust against each other. They want me. But I to say that these things, they want me because God wants me for his glory and created me. Okay, and then this other part wants me, but unfortunately, it would destroy me. And that's what God was trying to tell Eve. You do this and you'll destroy yourself. But this verse says, so that you do not things, and this is a New King James Version, so that you do not do the things that you wish. I actually wish something different. But it seems like I'm somewhere in between, and this time can make me batty. But I wish, so I have these desires, and I have to learn how to control them in the sense of not control, like control your desires, but in the sense of like, just like you and I, we eat, and it's better to eat certain foods than others. And I want to feed the right thing so that my body grows correctly. So I have this eternity in my heart, right? And we started off with the verses, I sleep, but my heart is awake. That means we're open to a lot of things. I wake up every morning, and I'm open to a lot of thoughts. I go through many years, and I'm open to a lot of thoughts. Didn't even know that I had begun to formulate those thoughts and had those thoughts had begun to formulate an idea. And I mean, I'm open to the whole shebang. And that's what sometimes a problem in prayer is. I take those thoughts into prayer with pre-desires. And so I come out of it and I have a pre-idea. I can even take that into reading the Bible. If I don't go into the Bible with the idea I go into the Word of God and I have it speak to me, then unfortunately I will speak to the Bible and then I will make sure everything the Bible says matches up with what I spoke to myself. This is interesting because there's one thing, like I said, these desires are simple ones. What flavor ice cream do you like? What flavor, whatever. These are simple things. But if I'm not careful, these simple things, these simple desires, they can hurt me. If I'm not careful, they are like connected to me and they can actually attempt to control me. So here's the thing. I said I want, and if I'm not careful, I'm attached to here, and actually I'm under its control. So first started off, I want, but now I'm controlled by it. So sounds like it was fine, right? I want this, I want that, but now I'm controlled by it. Well, that's interesting. And I don't want to be controlled by it, because there are things that God wants from me. So as a new Christian, I have to learn that, because in a day I can be like, I want. Remember, I want to grab. And before I know it, my flesh is fine. And Satan goes, yeah, you should have that. And I go over here, and now I'm controlled by it. Mm-hmm. And now I couldn't stop. I had a situation in the past few days of a young woman, and I would say something to her, and like she was so already, she had started with I want to being controlled by it, that when I would talk to her, like she shut down. And she used to respond to me, but she like shut down. She couldn't control herself. And I was looking at her and I'm like, this little person like is now under its control. And I could see her fighting me, fighting the control, hating every second of it, but not knowing a way out. And I sat there thinking to myself, I honestly didn't know what to do. So I didn't do anything. I just said, listen, I don't think this is working out. And I pretty much was like, I think it's done for now. There's nothing I can do. But, you know, God knows. A couple days later, she came back. And then, you know, her mom was involved. There was a lot of things that went with it. But I just remember that moment as I was, like, sitting there. And I thought, you know, that's so me. You know, I can get worked up into something and I want. And now I'm controlled by. If you take nothing out of today, the one thing is you could take this. These I wants will become I'm controlled by if I'm not careful. And that's why God is saying, that's why the spirit lusts to envy. What it means, that verse we read in James 4 was that he works hard against that, because he knows that that being under the control of my wants will ultimately destroy me. And I need him to know that. That is like very intense. I have the power to destroy myself. And let's turn to Hosea chapter 13. Man, I'm getting you guys some... This is a big test. Okay, we there? Small little book, right? No, the book, Hosea book in the Bible is small. It's only got a few chapters in it. Everybody there? Okay, Hosea chapter 13 and verse 9. Israel, God speaking, you have destroyed yourself. But thank God. For the comma. No period here. Punctuation, grammar is there for a reason. Comma, but. Thank you for that coordinating conjunction. But. Prepositional phrase. In me. And God. Verb is. Linking me to him. Okay. Your help. You've destroyed yourself. You took want and came under the control of it. And if that were the end of it, this is a great Bible study that has no hope for anybody. Okay? but in me is your help. These desires are tricky, ladies. Tricky, tricky, tricky. Which is why God basically said, please don't touch that tree. Don't touch that tree. That tree will unlock for you. It'll give you knowledge and open you up to desires that you are not able to handle. You and I are like children. We don't know the difference between I want strawberry ice cream and I want to eat candy until I'm sick. Do you understand what I mean by that? Kids don't know the difference. In fact, we're required to know that. That's why we say no. No to this, yes to this. No to this, yes to this. Right? We have to, actually, as parents and teachers and faculty members, right, our big thing is we are to be in charge of moderation and when is the right moment. Because you could also say, oh, I said yes. And if you're married or if you have other people in the house, oh, I told so-and-so yes. But you don't realize that so-and-so told them yes, too. And that they've been doing yes for 2 weeks now, okay? So they're getting over on us. We don't have that kind of power, right? So, and to know all of that. But we try to. We try to keep in track, because if we don't keep track, they are fast and smart. I don't care what kind of grades they're getting in school. They are good. They are very smart, and they will get over, and they know how to get over and who to get over with and how to what extent they can get over. And we always have to try to be a step smarter than they are. Okay? That you're looking at little desires right there. You and I, God put eternity in our hearts. I sleep and my heart wakes. It's open to so much. In a moment, I can take this, I can take that. This is so great, whatever. But I can destroy myself. But in God is my help. So he has things he tells me. He said, listen, Latasha, don't come to prayer with what you want, because it's not connected. You bring it in here and you asking me, you want to talk to me about this. It doesn't work that way. I want you to come to me. Come to me. And I want to go back to Song of Solomon. And we're not going to talk long because I want to really all the stuff to sink in. But now I want to go back to Song of Solomon in that same chapter. Because now we're set up for it. Okay, here it goes. In verse 2, right? He says, I sleep, but my heart wakes. Well, this is what happened. And this is interesting. It's a little on the intimate side. But the voice of my beloved knocks on the door. And he says, open to me, my sister, my love, my dove, my undefiled. My head is filled with dew and my locks are with the drops of the night. Okay? So he is aware that her heart is open. Throughout the day, let me say this, pause for 1 second here, the next sentence here. God is absolutely aware that my heart is awake. You and I, the heart knows its own sorrow. And a stranger can't figure it out. We can be sitting in this room, and there can be so many deep needs, and we could go out here and say, how many times have you read in the paper, the neighbors say, I didn't know something was going on with her. I never knew he was beating her. I didn't know that child was getting abused. I didn't know that he was secretly doing that. Okay? We're not good with each other that way. We have learned. We are socially, we've learned how to... Meanwhile, over here, we're dying. That's the sleep. We have learned how well to sleep with each other, so to speak, meaning we can move and get going. We don't know when the heart, we don't know that heart that's awake. God does. He hasn't missed it. That's why some things when they hit us or some things that come, whatever, and it doesn't seem to make sense, and they seem to mess up our sleep. But God was like, no, this isn't about your sleep. This is about your heart. Do you understand what I'm just saying? We think we're getting caught up, this is about my day-to-day. But God is not interested. He goes, I know. Since there have been thousands of years, man has done the same thing. You're going to work to eat. You're going to take care of kids. That's sleep to me. But I know your heart is awake. And to that is what I've created you for. To that I want to speak to. And I like that. You know why? Because it is true. I have sat in a classroom. I've sat in a situation. And I have felt the loneliness of no one knowing in the room what's going on. But verses like these remind me that my heart is awake and he knows about it. So it says, he, the voice of my beloved, knocks. Because you would say, wait a minute, don't knock, she's asleep. But he knows the heart is awake. Don't knock, you'll wake her up. She's already awake. But she's like, I know, I can't come to you. She said, open up, because she says in verse 3, I took off my coat. How am I supposed to put my coat back on? I wash my feet, how shall I defile them? I'm dealing with the kids, I'm dealing with my job, I'm dealing with these things. Like, you know, I'm a little busy right now. But God says, listen, I understand that, but your heart is awake. And I got to talk to you heart to heart, because your heart is the only thing that can destroy you, really. That's where your desires are connected to. And I have to address your heart. I know you're awake. I know you're sleeping. I know all of these things. I'm not, God doesn't come and have this. When I spend time with God in the morning every day, we don't talk about my shoes. You know, God, I like these gray ones, but you know, my big toe, it's really hard to move in it. This is how I spend every morning with God. You know, I really like the white cushion, you know, because it's really like, and I've got to keep them clean. You know what, God? I think I'm going to wear the red pants tonight. I really like my red pants. Do you like them, God? This is not my morning conversation with God. I sleep. We do not have this for conversation. Okay? Cocoa Crisps, Captain Crunch. No, no, no. You know, I'm going to have Wheaties. This is not a conversation. This is a waste of time and a waste of breath. I sleep. God allows me. I go through the day to day, but my heart is awake. This is the communication center with him. He does not communicate with me in my sleep. He communicates with my heart. He does not communicate with my small day to day. And something happens dramatic, traumatic, and we're like, oh my gosh, it's the end of the world. The sleep has been interrupted. The sleep has been affected. We would say, don't wake her, God. She put off her coat. That's a little rude, God. She was asleep. She's tired. She had this plan she was doing. She's day to day. You know, now she has to worry about this job or money or whatever. And God says, just like I could pray that prayer, and I can say out loud, I want Sarah to go to France. I want this money to come in. That's actually part of sleep. I can say, God, I expect you. You promised that you would take care of us. You love us. I want you to take care of us. Each one of us tonight are going to go to a home, and we're actually going to put our head on a pillow. We're not going out in the street. It's not a homeless Bible study for the Christians. In fact, I haven't seen very many of those type. You know why? Because the Bible says, I've never seen the righteous forsaken. Now, I'm not saying that we're not going to have trials and tribulations, but let's be realistic. We get past them. That's why we forget. That's why I don't want to forget his miracles. Because I know well enough, I forget that he has helped. That's sleep. I'm saying God wants to talk to my heart. This is what he created me for, that. If my body disappeared, it wouldn't matter to God. Because that's what will happen. He did come for the salvation of my body. He came to save my soul. He came to fellowship with the deepest part of me. And she said, I put off my coat because I don't want to talk about sleep right now. I don't want to talk about your sleep. So he put his in his hand by the door, hole of the door, and my bowels, my emotions. He kind of touched me in an area. Maybe it's a deep yearning. Maybe he touched it. And I was like, oh God, yeah. Like... I forgot. I've always wanted that. I don't even like to think about it, God, because I can't even see how you would fulfill that. I can't even think hard about this, God. But why are you touching it? And there's a story in the Bible about this. There was a prophet, and every time he would come by, this woman would say, her husband, listen, would bring him in and feed him and take care of him. And then she told her husband, listen, he comes by every time. Okay, every time he comes back, can I set up one of the rooms so he can stay here, so he has a place to rest? And her husband was like, yeah, sure. But her heart was towards this prophet. So every time he came by, she gave him a space. Finally, he said to her, goes, I need to ask you something. What can I do for you? Oh, nothing, I don't need anything. But then he came to find out she's always wanted a son. So he said, okay, you can have a son. I'm going to give you a son. And she had a son. What an amazing thing. She could never, it had been so deeply buried, she couldn't even bring herself to ask for something like that. It was this deep desire, this deep what have you. It's like the bowels had been moved. It's an amazing story, right? Mm-hmm. One day the son's working in the field. It's a beautiful story. And he dies. So he comes home, he goes, my head is hurting. He lays down and he dies. She's devastated. She is so devastated. She didn't really say much, puts her clothes together, walks out the door, goes hunting for the prophet. Sees him in the distance. The prophet says to his servant, can you go and find out what she wants? This woman's coming to me. And the servant comes to her and goes, is everything okay? She said, mm-hmm. Keeps coming. But he knew something's not. And as soon as she gets to him, she said, why? She said, I never asked you for this child. Now you've given me the child, and he's dead. That's interesting. I have these deep desires. I have these deep needs that I don't even want to admit to myself, maybe. And seemingly God fulfills it and then kills it. And that's my bowels. These are the deepest part of me. Now the prophet's probably like, this is intense, God, you know, it would happen to me. But the prophet goes in and he raises this young man from the dead. But remember, he had moved. He had, from her devotion, he had initiated to her. And that's the value of this. God himself had initiated to her because of her devotion to him, because of her devotion to the prophet, devotion to he had come and hit the deepest part of her desires and given her. Doesn't mean that, even if it's a natural or godly one, doesn't mean that it won't go through trials, it won't go through tribulation, it won't die. But he brought it back. Okay? But this was, she didn't run after him. She never said, hey, listen, let's get this prophet in here and then let's see if he can help me get pregnant. Did she do anything like that? Nothing like that. She said, I've always wanted a child. Nothing like that. She honored, we would not know in scripture that she even had, if the scripture had ended with her getting a house for this prophet, room for this prophet, we wouldn't even know that she ever desired it. Unfortunately, I need to stop right here. That is not always us. We have something and we let the world know. We complain to each other. We are bitter toward God. We're shaking our arms and fists toward heaven. We're very upset all around. I know what she wants. You know, we had a situation today without going into a lot of detail. You got to love the school because God gives so many examples. So this is, if you listen to my Bible studies through the years, they're like that. Whatever God has me in, well, the school is mine. So we got this little example. God bless her. And she wants Cheez-Its. That's all she wants. That's all she sees. Now, earlier part of the day, she just had a snack. Thankfully, the teacher had seen that she'd already had a snack. But literally, she sees out of the corner of her eye a box of Cheez-Its. And she becomes obsessed with her reading partner time. Is a line and Cheez-Its. Could I have Cheez-Its? No, not right now. You just had a snack. But I'm hungry. But you just had a snack. And so no Cheez-Its? No. Well, either a line or two more. Not even one? One Cheez-It. no Cheez-Its. Okay. Wait a moment. Come on! I can't have a Cheez-It! Okay. Crazy, right? You just had a full breakfast. Then you had a full snack. There is nothing starving about you on your body or your person, right? So, but the world is full. The only world you know right now is Cheez-It. But isn't that us? That's the tree of knowledge of good and evil. I'm Cheez-It queen. You know, that's what I wanted. But she's not. It's such a godly thing, okay? It's so like, it's buried. It's just there. It isn't like godly because her desire to have a child is godly. It's actually kind of natural. But it doesn't rule her, own her, or whatever. It's God who moved his hand to her bowels. Okay? It is God in his order and just appreciation of her devotion. You see, God loves my love for him. And when it's there, then he can add to me. Because why? Hear this. Because it doesn't take away from him. Right? He's got it in mind adding if it's not subtracting. Why would he add so it could take away from him? So I could be so distracted, whatever. Oh, and I can have all excuses and situations in the world and tell you why it wouldn't. But only God knows that. And like I said, the eternal world is in my heart. And I don't know these things. So to go back to our story, she's moved for him. And she gets up to go, and her hands are dropped with myrrh, and their fingers with sweet-smelling myrrh upon the handles of the lock. And she finally opens the door to him, but he's gone. God had created in her this need. God did it. He created this need in her, this desire. But she wasn't even aware of it. She was asleep. One would say, and they would be wrong, that the ideal Christian is a Christian who sleeps, who has put off her coat, who has washed her feet, and who is asleep. Asleep to her own desires, asleep to all of this. That is not what God is saying. The ideal Christian is not the one who can do the routine. The ideal Christian is not the one who does church on Sunday, does the outreach, other whatever. That's not God. God purposely put his hand to her bowels. He created the problem. My desires are very much connected at time. He created the need. But he who creates the need is the only one who can answer the need. But he makes it worse. I would say, thank God she got up. Thank God God was at the door. You and I were soul winning. We'd say, hallelujah, this is great. It's going to be a great testimony. He runs. If somebody knocked at the door and say, hey, we have help you. And this person comes to the door and I'm soul winning and I take off running.
There's someone at the door.
Okay. But, isn't that interesting? That wouldn't that be crazy if I took bang, bang, bang on the door and then as soon as I saw them come, I have salvation for them. Right? As soon as I saw them come to the door, I ran. Would that be good outreach? Guys, knock on the door. As soon as somebody comes, run. I have to tell them about Jesus. Knock on the door, run. Doctor, somebody's sick in that house. Well, knock on the door. As soon as someone comes to the door, run. Firemen, there's a fire on that side. Well, knock on the door. As soon as somebody comes to the door, run. That's what God did. He finally gets her out of bed. He's the one who caused the situation. Now she realizes she needs him, and then he runs. Runs like hell. Don't say that. And runs. Okay? So get out of there, right? And that doesn't make sense. He runs, and she says to him, he was gone. In verse 6, my soul failed when he spake. I sought him, but I could not find him. I called him, but he gave me no answer. Verse 7, the watchmen, the soldiers around the city, when they found me, they beat me up. They wounded me. The keepers of the wall took away my veil from me. It got worse. My need, I went around, and these people, they beat me up. You know what it is? It's like God, it doesn't seem fair. This does not seem like a recipe for how one would minister to someone. You and I are quick to meet needs. A baby cries, help them stop crying. Somebody has a need, a real need that we see. Who can tell me what this portion right here, New Testament, reminds them of? You and I see a need. We are quick to meet it. Huh? No, he met the need. Where in the New Testament did God see a need?
And with Lazarus.
Lazarus is dying. Okay. The Bible says, okay, he stuck around for 2 more days. What's the second moment?
The Syrophoenician woman.
She has a serious need. Who wouldn't want to help a woman whose daughter is ill? And the Bible says he ignored her. Do you see? There's a pattern here. And this is why I sleep. but my heart wakes. You and I are never going to be in touch with ourselves. We're never going to know when we need Christ to kind of be at a distance from us. It doesn't matter. I don't care how needy you think you feel or I feel. You and I don't know the heart that's awake. There's only one who can speak to it. Deep calls unto the deep. Okay? There's only one that fills that. So he creates the need, and then I go chasing it, trying to fix it, and it gets worse. And then he goes to the daughters of Jerusalem, and we'll stop here. So she says, listen, in verse 8, if you find my beloved, can you tell him that I'm sick of love? I'm lovesick. I have a deep need. It's amazing what happens when I am really lovesick. That is the condition that he wanted her in. You and I would have met each other's condition at the door. God did not. Why? Like I said, we're just not doctors. I went and saw the doctor today. I explained all of these symptoms. I went all the way through it. And I sat. Do you know why? Because I'm not a doctor. I can tell you what my need is. I can tell you symptoms, but I'm not the doctor. When I go into prayer and I take me into prayer, I make myself the doctor. But God would have me go in as a patient. Like, God, I don't even know. I don't even know. I give me what I don't even know. And I'll close with this one story. There was a king, and he had a dream, and it really disturbed him, because he knew this dream was an awful dream, and there was something he woke up from it and he couldn't remember. But he says, I'm a king. So he brought his wise men in, and he said, I had a horrible, intense dream last night. I need to know the dream. And so I need to know what's going to happen. So the wise men said, of course. What do you think they said to him? Tell me the dream. He said, I don't know the dream. That's what I have you for. They said, wait, let me get this straight, king. You want me to tell you what you dreamt last night and then tell you the interpretation? That's insane. Nobody does that. Because back in those days, they did have wise men, but they would interpret things. Like I could tell you right now, like that would be like me going to the doctor that I went today, and I said, listen, I'm going to sit here, and there are a lot of things going wrong, and I'm going to need you to tell me what's going wrong in my life and then how to fix it. Do you think that doctor would have given me the time of day? Ma'am, I need you to tell me the symptoms. No. I don't even remember all the symptoms. I'm not in my right mind right now. You tell me the symptoms and tell me the cure. Then they would bring the psychiatrist in. So they're like, I can't do it. He goes, well, then guess what? I'm going to kill you all. And he said, wait a minute. Ask Daniel. So he went, basically, he got Daniel, and they said, please, the king's going to kill us if you don't help us here. So goes in the king, so Daniel, he gets with the three Hebrew boys and says, pray for me. I actually need to come up with this thing, obviously, this ridiculous thing. And of course, God gives it to him. He said, king, this is what you dreamt. And then he said, king, this is what it means. You and I, that's us. I'm sick of love, but I don't always know it. I'm not there yet. She was asleep, but she didn't know that she needed to be sick. She didn't know she had to get there. She didn't know where she needed to go. You and I don't know that. So we don't know what it is and how to even get there. We don't know where it is we're going, and we don't even know how to get there. I can sit in this church and say, I know I'm supposed to be going somewhere. Well, where? I need directions. Okay, well, where do you want to go? I don't know. I need you to tell me where I want to go and how to get there. Nobody could do that but God. We're the only one. He's the only one. I sleep. I go through my routine all day long. But my heart is awake. And only God can tell me where it is I need to go and how to get there. And that's really the only reason for church. Every Sunday, every Wednesday, I come in because I can't even tell you where I need to go. I just know I need to go somewhere. And also, I don't even know how to get there. And he said, that's impossible. Right. That's why man can't do it. The only person who can do it is God. But I have these deep needs, Latasha. But what are they? I don't even know. And honestly, if you work with kids, you can see it in their faces. They have deep needs that they can't even verbalize. And they need to know what the deep need is. And they only God can get them there. And you and I could bring things before them, food, hug them, whatever. And that's why I'm only will ever be a part of a Christian school, and I've done both. And like Marcellus left a Head Start program. If it's godless, it's impossible. Because the needs are too great. And they can't even interpret them themselves. But I can point them to God. I can tell you God. I can say, Sarah, there's a God, and he knows your needs, and he can tell you how to get them filled. But you're not going to be able to do it, and neither will I. They're too deep. You and I are the king who woke up. My heart is awake, we would say, and I need help. That's why desires, I don't play with desires. It's hard to, like, I have to get direction because I don't know. I don't know. I don't have answers, but I have God. This woman, she doesn't know. That she's so she doesn't even think about, like, I to her, she can't touch this. She's childless. This is the other woman. She's childless, but it becomes this, like, do I, but she's not going to put it out there because she doesn't really know her own needs. And she wouldn't even know how to fulfill them. Maybe she'd be stupid in the sense of like Abraham did, and she'd go out and have her husband have sex with somebody else to have the child. No, she doesn't do that. It's just going to be there, and if God does it, he does it. But I will enjoy God every time. You sleep, I sleep, but our heart is awake, and God is going to put his hands, and he is going to make trouble for us, so to speak, and make trouble for us. Because he wants me to be lovesick. He wants me to be lovesick. And that wants, he, you say, well, God, if you just didn't bother me, if you had left it alone, this would have been fine. No, you just would have been asleep. That's just being a dead man. And I didn't make Christians to be dead men and women. I made them to be lovesick. And later on, this woman, there'll be this great verse that says, where is this woman? She's leaning, coming up out of the wilderness, leaning on her beloved. Amazing. Lovesick. Lovesick. We weren't designed to be asleep. And yes, he's going to make a little trouble for us. And yes, maybe we're going to chase a few wrong things, like, and the watchmen are going to beat us up, or maybe we're going to get hurt a little bit. Or maybe a lot of it, you say. But there is a dream. And it's inside of each one of you. And myself. And only the King of Kings. And that's what Daniel, when he came back to the king, that's what he told him. He said, King, I don't want you to make a mistake here. I'm no great interpreter of dreams. That's how he began. Only God interprets dreams. I can't tell you what's this future, whatever. I don't know. I just know that if he put these things inside of me, and it's for him to tell me what they really are, which I don't even know myself, and you don't know, and then it's for him to fulfill them. Do not mix them up with the carnal appetites of the world. Do you understand what I'm saying by this? The carnal appetite, don't mix. Remember, that's why I said the spirit lusts against the flesh, and the flesh against the spirit, so that I could not do the things that I want. What I just talked about, God has in me a dream, a desire of what I really want. Don't mix that with the carnal appetites of the flesh that Hosea 13:9 would destroy me. They're not the same. These are the things that would destroy me.
don't mix what this dream, this idea, this bowel movements of my emotions, don't mix those two. Because this is what I was designed for, to be lovesick. But I wasn't designed for these ridiculous things, that the carnal appetites that would destroy me. They are not from God, and that's why I said they're not even me. They were put inside me, unfortunately, when Eve made a bad decision. But they're not me. Inside of me are these great secrets that I can't even unlock. That's why he said in Ecclesiastes 3:11 that he has put eternity in my heart. I can't even unlock them. That's why I go to church. That's why I sit under teaching. That's why I hear from him in the morning. I have to. But that's why it's always an adventure. It's actually, I'm not like, oh, I got to go to church. For me, it is a daily adventure. Because I know I'm a mess and I don't know how to fix it. I can go to God. I should have said to my doctor today, you're not God. That would have been lovely. I wouldn't have said it like that. But you know why? You may be doctor. That's great. You could study medicine for 1,000 years and you won't know me. And even she said at one point, in the middle of our thing, she says, what does she say? We don't have the knowledge of this yet. Well said. We don't have the knowledge of this yet. I know one who does. You see, I could sit in his office anytime, his doctor's office, and he doesn't say what's wrong. He doesn't have to, because he knows what's wrong, and he knows the fix. Sometimes in the gospel, Christ will say, what would you have me to do? Because he just wants us, he wonders, like, what am I going to say? But he already knows what's wrong. So I say, let God unlock your secrets. There's no one around. There's no one in this room. There's no one in this church who can unlock them. Because they weren't given to anybody but you. But neither can you. Don't attach them to something else. They're very personal. That dream was given to the king. Nobody else had it. That's why those wise men couldn't do anything about it. But God has these desires. And if I'm not careful, I bring all my crap into my prayer. Then God said, well, but what about the things that I know you really wanted? I don't know about that, God. Don't like mess up all my time, my whole time in church. I've become the church. And instead of listening to him on what he could have for me, I'm too busy. Got this whole other things about my garment. Did I put it on? Did I take it off? You know, I'm just caught up in that stuff. Get caught up in the mystery. It's called the mystery of godliness. And it's a daily mystery. And I'm constantly amazed that I like that. I don't care what age I am, and this how many years later as a Christian, I feel like I still have untapped things inside of me that he wants to tap. That's kind of cool. That is one way to stay away from the bitterness of whatever else, of stuff that's not even related to him. He's got big things. I don't care what anybody else says. I just gave you what the Bible says. Who cares what anybody else says? Amen?
Amen.
Okay, Father, we come before you tonight. We are the king. And maybe we've gone through a bunch of wise men. Like, what do you think? What do you think? What do you think? And maybe we're ready to stone them. I don't know. But you are the interpreter of dreams. You give the dream and you interpret it. And I would be like the woman who, okay, I can't have a child, but she's not designing a baby room for a baby. So maybe the prophet, let's put a room with baby clothes in it so he'll get the hint I want a child. No, she designed a room for the prophet to honor the prophet. And then God unlocked inside of her something special. And then he taught her in it. He added to her without subtracting from him. God, you add to us. You don't just subtract from you. There's a big world inside of our hearts, God. I can feel it sometimes. And then sometimes I feel asleep. But thank you that because I'm your child, my heart is awake. Thank you for knocking on the door. Thank you for running sometimes after knocking. All the things that you do to make me lovesick. You are amazing and so patient. And yes, let's admit it, we have destroyed ourselves at times. But you can help. Praise be to you for your glory and in your Son's name. Amen.
Okay.